From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of October 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear a case involving Monsanto and an Indiana farmer. And the World Bank has cut its growth forecast for Asia, especially China. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. Did you know US FDA has granted a conditional waiver for aflatoxin-affected corn to be blended in the state of Illinois? I'll have all the details as we make our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Oh, and the folks up at Chesapeake Energy will be here, too. They'll help us take a look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Monday edition. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood and Paul Stevens of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123.
In Chicago, on a Monday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed, at least in the wheat pit. Nearby December contract was up 3.5 cents at $8.61. That is a settlement price. July on its settlement at $8.40¾, up 0.5 cent in Kansas City. The July contract or harvest month in the hard red for next year, up 4¾ at $8.73¾. From the corn pit, futures were lower. December contract on its close at 7¼¼, down 6¾. March closed at 7¼¼, 7¼ lower. The May at 7.36, down 7¾. And July corn at 7.29½, 8¼ lower. September 6.53, down 3½. And December future on a close as well, up 0.5 cent there at $6.24¾. That, of course, December of 2013. In the corn pit. From the soy complex, now bean futures, November contract, $15.50 a close, down 1½ cents for the day. January off 4 cents at $15.47. The March at $15.25, down 10½ cents. And the May soybeans at $14.51½, 9 cents lower. July $14.37¾, down 4½ cents. And next year's November contract at $13.31, it did finish 9½ cents higher. Bean meal futures at $4.78.50, up $3.80, and the bean oil down 13 cents at $50.63. Mercantile exchange livestock cattle futures December contract $126.40, up 20 cents. November feeders up a dime at $146.30, and December futures in the lean hog $76.87½. 32½ higher. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil trading at $89.49 a barrel, down 39 cents. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $2.90, down a nickel and two-tenths. And the ethanol trading at $2.40¼. That's just about two-tenths of a cent higher for the day. The change just about 5¼ cents lower in the spread, and the spread completely at 49¼ cents of a cent. Natural gas at 341¾ cents. That's 1¢ and 7¢ higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.14¼, just about 7¢ of a cent lower. And the gold futures on the afternoon at $1,774.50 an ounce, down $4.90. The U.S. dollar at 79.6, up 0.26 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Yet this afternoon, sunny skies, a high near 57 degrees on a south-southwest wind at about 13 to 15 miles an hour. It gusts all the way to 21 today. This evening, clear and a low of 40. South winds at 9 to 13. Tomorrow, sunny and 66 degrees. It'll be breezy on a southwest wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour, all the way up to 16 to 20 in the afternoon. The winds could gust as high as 29 tomorrow. And then tomorrow evening, a 40% chance of showers. Those will come after 8 o'clock, mostly cloudy. A low of 41 degrees. Wednesday, a 40% chance of showers comes, but stops at about 8 a.m. in the morning. Sunny skies after that, a high of 56. West-northwest winds about 9 to 14 in the Urbana-Champaign area. And then Wednesday evening, mostly clear, a low of 36 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Monday afternoon, the 8th day of October, we are joined by phone, on the line that is, Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Quiet day there, at least in Chicago, as I'm thinking about quiet days, or as we get ready for the next October report from USDA?
That seems to be the theme. It was relatively quiet for us here, at least. The market news was somewhat quiet. The average trade guesses are out. Everyone's got an opinion about production as far as yield goes, as far as harvested acres, and then also some ideas on demand. So we'll see how the WASDE numbers are all balanced out come Thursday morning's report there, and that'll be the next market maker for say. In the meantime, the trade continues to watch the demand picture here, see if demand starts to show up on these price breaks. And probably the biggest demand factor would be if this Chinese buying would reenter the marketplace here on an aggressive pace or not, Todd.
Naturally, it is Columbus Day, so most U.S. government offices are closed. We won't get any of the weekly updates today, and those will show up tomorrow, including the crop progress reports. What do you think that report might show?
It's going to continue to show a rapid harvest pace. Idea is that corn and bean harvest could be in the 65% to 70% complete, and that's about double the average or what we've done in the past in through here. It's been a speedy harvest with some of these fields not producing a whole lot, and the bigger machinery we have, it's gone quite fast. So don't look for a whole lot of surprise there. Probably will focus on the South American weather week to week versus this progress report that we're accustomed to during the growing season.
It has been a very speedy harvest. I was speaking with a farmer. I bet you've talked to clients too, who was combining shucking corn at 7 miles an hour. And that is hauling. That's really moving. It was a 12-row head. You're just not taking anything in if you're running that fast, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing the ground that can be covered, even in a good year with all the bushels we have. But you're right, with the smaller yields, it's definitely slowed down the pace of the grain auger guy chasing the combine somewhat, giving a little bit of time off. But
how many times he's gotten there, he might be having to run a little faster to dump on the go, I think. Hey, I do have a question about this, though. So if we're this far along, shouldn't we begin to see a bottom end of this marketplace? Would you not think that there ought to be the harvest lows maybe put into place or coming very soon, and that that pressure now has begun to wane for both corn and soybeans?
We feel so. When you work with producers, the mentality is that once I fill up a grain bin, I've not had any success of having them turn around and empty it right away. So once it's in the bin, we all know it's pretty well there for a little while at least. Same thing on minimum storage. We've seen guys pay minimum storage, and you at least like to get that back before moving the cash grain. So it sort of creates a little bit of a vacuum here. We'll have to sort of monitor the need as we go here. We feel the end user is going to be a little bit more aggressive this year and try to get more coverage on than he has in the past. So we feel that the market will try to hold together here on the cash side, and basis should improve. On the future side, it's just been weak from overall liquidation. The trade's just disinterested in the grain market at the moment here. You don't hear people talking about the corn and bean market, out in the public like you did this summer. And so it's going to take some type of event here to regain the investment money's interest in the marketplace. So the grind higher here or the firmness should probably, we feel will come more on the cash side, Todd, as we move to year end.
How much of this year's crop, let's just deal with corn, do you think is now in the hands of commercials and or elevators as opposed to the farmer?
On corn, probably 99%. This has been a good year to move a good chunk of the corn into the marketplace from the point of being oversold and the point of the alpha toxin around. Now, I said 99%. That's just sort of jokingly now. It's a high percent, but I'd say a good percentage of the corn has been moved into the commercial's hands, whereas the beans, probably a little bit less. We're seeing a situation where guys have elected to move the corn and hang on to the beans, for say. So once this grain has moved to the stronger hands, and here it'd be interesting to see if that old theory takes hold.
Turn your attention very quickly to the livestock sector. Were you surprised at all over the past several weeks or several trading sessions that livestock has rebounded as sharply and as quickly as it has at this point? I know we're thinking that, you know, there would be liquidation and then we'd start to turn around at some point, but it seems like it's coming earlier maybe than most had thought it would.
I think we saw some liquidation here late summer, for say, not to a large magnitude, but there's a sigh of relief when you talk to the producers here without corn being at the $8 benchmark. It is taking a ton of weight off these guys' shoulders. They'll pay $7.99, but not $8, it seems like. So unless corn goes on back up to the $8 level, the liquidation is probably on hold here. Especially with the rebound we saw in meat prices. We saw the so-called exporters back off a little bit, the users back off a little bit, expecting cheaper prices. We bottomed. Now they're finding themselves trying to chase this market higher here to get the inventories that they need.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
All right. Take care. Thanks.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Are you listening to the Closing Market Report? It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now. He'll take us through the Ag News for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear an Indiana farmer's appeal that challenges the scope of Monsanto Company's patent rights on its Roundup Ready seeds. Monsanto has required farmers to use the patented seeds only for a single crop and not save the second-generation seeds from the harvest. In a short written order, the Supreme Court said it would consider the planting tactics of Indiana farmer Vernon Bowman, who appealed to the justices after Monsanto successfully sued him for patent infringement in the lower courts. In a petition to the Supreme Court, Bowman argued that the lower court rulings gave Monsanto an unfair and unprecedented level of patent protection for its seeds, even after they had been sold into commerce. The Supreme Court agreed to hear the case over the objections of the Obama administration, which had urged the justices to leave the lower court rulings in place. The World Bank cut its growth forecast for Asia today in a new sign of the impact of weakening global demand and warned that China's cooling economy faces the risk of a more pronounced slowdown. The bank cut this year's growth outlook for developing Asia-Pacific economies to 7.2%, down from its May forecast of 7.6%. The bank cut its forecast for China, the region's biggest economy, to 7.7% from May's 8.2%. The bank cited weak global demand due to the lackluster U.S. recovery and Europe's recession. It said Europe's debt crisis still is a major risk, followed by the U.S. fiscal cliff, a mix of tax and spending cuts due to take effect at year's end that might depress growth. Australia Trading and Farming Groups say that Australia's wheat industry risks losing its competitive edge in Asia if the government does not move to deregulate exports. Australia's plan to abolish the last vestige of government regulation of wheat exports is currently in political limbo. The coalition is opposing a bill proposed by the incumbent Labor government to dismantle Wheat Exports Australia, the successor to the single desk put in place after former government body Australian Wheat Board was disbanded in 2008. Growers in the more domestically focused eastern states, where exports are dominated by international companies like Cargill, are more supportive of the status quo. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, inviting you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. Our mobile website, the address is m.willag.org, or just call our phone number at 217-333-3434. That's 333-3434 in the 217 area code with an update of either the opening or closing numbers from the open out cry pit and a bit of analysis each and every business day of the year. Up next, did you know USFDA has granted a conditional waiver for aflatoxin-affected corn to be blended in the state of Illinois? I'll have all the details. The Illinois grain industry asked the Illinois Department of Agriculture for relief from the blending restriction. Specifically, the industry wanted a waiver from the federal prohibition against blending aflatoxin-contaminated corn. This request was sent Friday, September the 21st, to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Well, FDA has since granted the request under specific conditions. Jeff Atkison of the Illinois Grain and Feed Association explains why the request was made.
The Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, publishes guidelines for the levels of aflatoxin that can be used in different types of products. The FDA has established that anything with 20 parts per billion or less can be used really in anything for human consumption. When it gets above 20 parts per billion, that's where we start slicing and dicing it a little bit. You have 20 to 100 that can be used in certain types of livestock feed, you know, up to 200 in the finishing swine, and then up to 300 in finishing cattle. So there's various levels of tolerance, I guess you'd say, as far as what can be used in different types of livestock. Now, just because the FDA says it can be used doesn't mean that that final buyer will buy that. And that's something that we need to keep in mind, because I early on had some conversations with some elevators, and I know they had some that was a little over 20. And I said, well, you can put it in the feed market. You can go to the feed market with it. And after I said that about two or three times, the gentleman I was talking to said, no, you don't understand. The feed market that we're selling into is not taking or not accepting anything over 20 parts per billion. So it depends, like any kind of contractual buy-sell arrangement. You've got to meet the buyer's specifications. And if the buyers, even if they could take it over there, if they don't want to take it, that's their prerogative. And so it creates a lot of headaches and a lot of problems with us.
Again, that was Jeff Atkison of the Illinois Grain and Feed Association. Anyone handling grain, for the most part, can apply for the blending waiver. Here are the waiver's conditions in short form. 1. Corn contaminated with aflatoxin above 20 parts per billion may be blended with other corn to the extent that the resulting product is below the appropriate aflatoxin action level in corn used as or in animal feed. 2. Once the blending operation is completed, each batch of blended corn will be analyzed to determine its aflatoxin level. 3. The seller of corn blended pursuant to this process will provide the purchaser with a copy of the analytical results generated from the blend. 4. The blended corn will be clearly identified and labeled for animal feed use only. And 5, corn containing aflatoxin levels greater than 500 parts per billion cannot be blended. Those wanting to apply for the blending waiver in Illinois can find the application on the Illinois Grain and Feed Association's website. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
This agricultural report is made possible with support from Country Financial, now offering protection programs for the 2013 planting season, like federal crop insurance. Federal crop insurance information is available today from your local Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market. Michael Yeoman is on the phone line from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Is it quiet there today?
It's been fairly quiet. We're starting to see corn really wrap up, probably getting towards 80 to 90% done as far as corn goes, and beans are slowly coming off.
Yeah, starting to. I suspect you're thinking tomorrow might be another big day for beans or not.
Hopefully it would be a big day to start things. You know, I think with the frost last night, hopefully some beans will start to cut a little bit better, but it's been a rough start.
Yeah, tell me about the bean harvest and the rough start to it and what you're hearing about yields and problems folks are having in the field.
I think the biggest problem guys are having is just been tough out there cutting. Some of the pods are still a little bit too wet, but the beans, beans are dry enough. Just hard getting it through the combine.
And then turn your attention back to corn. How'd you do filling the elevator up?
I think we did all right on getting everything filled up. We're just concerned about what grain flow will be like from November to August.
You know, somebody asked me about the pile out back, and you have a fairly large pile, I guess. Out back, and I said, "Oh, that was a pile of convenience, I think," because you load your rail cars from there.
We load from in-house, but we do have a pile out back. We did get enough corn to have to pile some.
Oh, really? I did not understand that. I was thinking it was a pile of convenience for load out. So how much do you have in it?
I'm not sure exactly what's on it now, but probably close to a million.
What's your basis been like this week?
We have been firm at 12 over.
And your expectations? That's actually pretty good. You're 12 over. What are your expectations then for the next week or and a half or so?
You know, I think once corn harvest starts to really wrap up more and we see that there isn't as much corn moving, races will eventually start to rally again. You know, we kind of had a peak there during mid-harvest, and I think we posted 20 over the high, and I think we'll start to rally back on basis.
Which of the markets is calling for corn more aggressively than others?
It seems like, Indiana is kind of iffy with, you know, what is actually going on for ethanol production over there. Rail bids still seem to be probably about the best market.
All right, and for your beans, how about for that?
Beans, we are 8 under, and we've been fairly firm there, too. I think bean basis should remain steady.
And your actual bids are?
We are at $7.54 for cash corn and $15.43 for cash beans.
Thanks so much, Michael.
Thank you. Bye.
Michael Yeoman is with the Andersons. He's right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office always joins us on a Monday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report. Back in just a couple minutes with today's agricultural weather forecast.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
It's National Fluffer Nutter Day. The sandwich was first created in the early 20th century after marshmallow cream, a sweet marshmallow-like spread, was invented in the U.S. During World War I, Emma Curtis published a recipe for a peanut butter and marshmallow cream sandwich, which is the earliest known example of a fluffer nutter. It's also National Pierogi Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1823, the Erie Canal was inaugurated at Albany, New York, upon the occasion of the first passage of a boat into the canal, although the entire canal was not yet completed. About 40,000 people were present for the occasion. In 1871, the Great Chicago Fire broke out and destroyed over 17,000 buildings and left almost 100,000 people homeless. It was usually blamed on Mrs. Kate O'Leary's cow kicking over a lamp. However, in 1997, the Chicago City Council looked into the evidence, both new and old, and passed a resolution exonerating Mrs. O'Leary and her cow. But many still believe the cow was guilty. In 1906, Harry Day was born, an American nutritional biochemist. He helped develop the fluoride additive used in toothpaste to combat tooth decay. Over his lengthy career, Day also evaluated the health aspects of food ingredients, principles of food safety, and nutrition. And in 1919, Congress passed the Volstead Act, which enforced the ban on the sale and consumption of alcoholic beverages, marking the beginning of Prohibition. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. John Davis at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is on the phone line to take up the weather forecast with us. Thank you, John, for taking the time with us today. Look forward to this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow. Guys in the area would really like to get some soybeans cut, but they're having a tough time with that. Will conditions be good?
They will be, and we are going to have dry weather over the next couple of days across actually much of the Midwest, and so pretty much open field work operations right through the end of the week across the vast majority of the Midwest, yeah.
Cold conditions over the weekend. Who got the coldest, and where did we get freezes?
Well, we got freezes as far south as, you know, south of I-80, and so a good half or two-thirds of the Midwest had a frost and then hard freezes for about half the belt here over the weekend. And so it does look like we stay cold here through this week, in other words, through Thursday and Friday. But after that, a pretty dramatic warm-up. It looks like over the weekend and on through next week, we get into a much warmer pattern across the entire central U.S. and have an extended period of quite a bit warmer weather here coming up. So this is not the start of an extended period of cold weather, just kind of about a 10-day period of cold conditions, and we get right back to the warm side as we go toward and into the second half of the month.
I take it from what I saw in the records that our overnight lows were not nearly as deep as our daytime highs, because there were at least one or two records that were broken over the weekend. Lincoln, Illinois had a new record low for a high over the weekend, for instance.
Right, exactly. And there were much more records broken here from a standpoint of what we call low maxes. So that's where most of the records were across, especially across the middle portion of the Midwest. It was in the max category, cool maximum temperatures versus any kind of, you know, record lows that were broken across most of the state.
Take a look to the growing regions that we need to get into. For instance, southern Illinois, where they would like to sow some wheat, and then out west, where they would also like to sow some wheat. How are the chances for that?
Well, the big problem area right now is, of course, in the Plains Hard Red Belt, where they continue to have issues with dryness in pockets of Kansas and then northward up into Nebraska, the Dakotas, Montana. Looks like that is the dry spot as we go through the next week or two, and so no real relief in that situation. And for at least for the soft red wheat belt across most of the Midwest and down into the northern Delta, moisture levels in general are in pretty good shape here, so we don't really think of that as a problem area right now. And overall here, from a planting standpoint, most of those areas should have adequate moisture here to get that crop properly established as we go through the fall.
And a very short word on South America.
Improving. Brazil and the dry areas that have developed across Brazil, they will be getting rain here as we go through the next 10-day period. So improving situations, especially across Brazil.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
That is John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
And that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always hear us online if you'd like again at WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.